Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, folks, it's a very busy Tuesday for old Danny Boy, so we are not going to screw around on this one. Not that you care, but after this, I basically need to go right back to preschool to pick up my younger one. He's got a little doctor's appointment this morning. And then the question is, do I take him back to preschool after the doctor's appointment? Oh, yes, these are the things, man. These are the things. Can't think of all of it. Also got the older dudes Little League practice in the afternoon. We got a big phone call here among some management-level dudes at Ethos. It is a jam-packed Tuesday as the NBA season winds down, and for that reason, I will tell you very quickly here, I am Dan Bespris. This is Fantasy NBA Today, a SportsEthos.com presentation. You can find me on social media at Dan Bespris, and please, 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 if you guys have been taking in this show for any length of time this year, please take a moment to like, rate, and subscribe. The ratings really do go a long way. I know it seems nuts, but that's that thing where I need your guys' help on it. I did a show where I walked you guys through how to like go find the rating on the podcast app on your mobile device. Please just do it. Need your help. End of the season. I haven't really bugged you all that much. I'd love to get to 900 ratings. We're 21 away, and I know there's way more than 21 of you watching or listening that haven't done it before. Start with a subscription, though. That would be phase one. Let's hustle, though. We're going to do a little hustling today. There's only six question mark games from yesterday's card, so we'll break them down. I think we can get this show done in under a half hour today. We'll do a quick check of the chat room at the end of it as well, just in case. So welcome, everybody, especially if you are new. I love when there's one. I always know there's one new listener somehow. Brooklyn sucks. There's your fantasy analysis. Brooklyn stinks. They stink. Got smoked again. What a rough year. Mikal Bridges has forgotten how to shoot. But you still start him every day because he's Iron Man and he's going for Iron Man-related records. Bridges, Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, those are the easy choices. The hard choices on this team are numerous, really. Dennis Schroeder is one that we've talked about on the pod, and I know I'm lower on him than I think the consensus NBA feeling on Schroeder. I am, as you guys know, someone who plays 9 category, and Schroeder is not a great 9 category asset. He's pretty good at assists, and he's okay at free throws. And then beyond that, there isn't a whole lot else to roll it up into it. You know, he's outside the top 150 on the season. He's number 152 in 31 minutes of ballgame. So I don't know what people feel like they need to see anymore. The key for him is that there needs to be a key usage guy down so that Dennis can go get a bunch of shots. And he can't right now, because mostly because Cam Thomas is in there. So if you're playing Schroeder, you're assist hunting, and you're okay with the fact that he's probably going to take a deuce on your field goal percent. Also a question mark right now, interestingly, is Trendon Watford, who's been trending up. Ha ha! Ho 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 ho! Yeah. Oh, I did it. Yeah, trending up. 21 points, 2 boards, a steal, a block, and a three-pointer. He shot the ball really well over his last couple of weeks. Unsustainably high, although Watford is, I say historically, like he has a long track record, but, you know, in his brief NBA career, he's been a pretty good field goal percent guy out of that sort of big wing spot on the floor. He's not a traditional center. I don't know that you'd call him really a traditional power forward because his rebounding is really only okay, but he gets some steals. That seems to be a pretty consistent theme. The field goal percent is good. The free throw percent is not. So don't get too caught up in that. He's shooting 83% at the foul line this year, but that's probably due for a negative mean reversion. Who knows? Maybe he'll just magically be better, but I don't. It's one of those things where you kind of have to see it over like a lot of free throws to believe it, and I mean, it's been better. What could we get out of Trendon Watford? Because I got a couple questions on him on Twitter yesterday, and I thought, you know, these are good questions. I don't know why I didn't bring these up sooner. Why haven't I spent any time on Watford? Reason is, his fantasy game is really only okay. I like the field goal percent from a guy who can hit a three-pointer in, you know, I don't know if you call them starters minutes, but, you know, that range of minutes. And you put those two things, one three-pointer, decent field goal percent. Okay, you're on your way towards something. But he's not going to block many shots. He's at 0.3 in 12 minutes a game this year. You extrapolate that to starters minutes, you're probably looking at something like about 0.5, half a block. Steals, you could probably make a case that he gets up to about, you know, 0.8, 0.9. So not horrendous, but no assists. They'll be very low. Rebounds will be meh at best. He's not a great rebounder. So where, how do we pile up the value if he's not going to score a bunch? And when I bunch, I'm not talking about a dozen 13 points. I'm talking about like 17 points, which is not going to happen. The answer is it's probably not there, but the way that it gets there is shutdowns. So in my opinion, yes, I like the extra minutes that Watford is getting. I like the fact that suddenly he's now getting 10, 11 shots a ball game, which is definitely a big step in the right direction. Suddenly the field goal percent can actually be working kind of in your favor. That can get him to 14, 15 points if he's taking 10, 11 shots a ball game, as my draft board falls on my head in the background. But I do think we need someone out of the way. Who is that someone? Dorian Finney-Smith would probably do if he was done. That would probably get Watford up to playable in most formats. Cam Thomas being out would elevate everybody on the team. Not that I'm not trying to blame him for something. He's one of the only bright spots all season long for the Nets. But his very high usage doesn't really help the guys around him all that much. And I don't know, there are many guys on this team that do. You could also take a look at De'Ron Sharpe if Nick Claxton gets shut down. There's a bunch of sort of fill-in level guys on the Nets, but not really any of them have crested over that hump yet. So Watford was interesting. I wouldn't call him the big news of the day, but he's certainly someone that's kind of near the top of the watch list. The big news out of this ballgame was Miles Turner dislocating a finger. I chose not to watch the replay of it because apparently it showed his finger bending sideways at 90 degrees. They popped it back in. He shot some free throws left-handed just in case he needed to come back into the ballgame later. But that was the power of positive thinking. Yeah, he didn't come back. He didn't play in the second half. He finished with five blocks anyway. Miles was on his way to maybe a triple-double with points, boards, and blocks. So if you have Miles Turner, this sucks because I think you have to assume that he's going to miss a ball game. It didn't look good, and there's going to be swelling. Like, your best shot of playing would have been right after they popped it back in. But the Pacers were smoking the Nets in this game, so there's no reason to push it. If Miles Turner has to miss a ball game, Jalen Smith, who came in and had a double-double in 15 minutes before getting himself ejected, would be a terrific fill-in play. If Jalen Smith has to miss any time, because he's been banged up throughout the year for any number of reasons, then you move all the way down to Isaiah Jackson. So you've got these nice fantasy backups, but it's hard to make a call without knowing for sure. I would say head-to-head side, you probably don't do much of anything because you're not going to typically not going to gain a games played advantage by making this move. But in Roto, I can make a really strong case for picking up Jalen Smith. He's number 188 this year on Yahoo in 17 minutes of ballgame, 10 points, 5.5 rebounds. That's in 17.5 minutes on a big-time positive field goal percent. So if you start to roll that into more of a starter's minutes profile, and there's no guarantee that he gets more than 24 or 25, even if he starts, there's a guarantee that he gets more than 22. But if you look at the games this year, and I mean, count them on one hand, where Jalen Smith got 25-ish minutes, even 24, frankly, they've been, by and large, pretty good. And we'll go through them real fast here. November 8th, he played 24 minutes and 45 seconds in a win over the Jazz. He had 16 and 11 with two steals and a block on 5 out of 8 shooting. December 28th, he played 24.5 minutes against the Bulls. He had 15 and 7 on 6 out of 7 shooting in that ballgame, but he absolutely destroyed your field goal percent, so not as great. January 6th and January 8th, He had a couple of games of 26 minutes in a row. 7-7, not great, but 11-9 with three blocks in the next one was pretty good. 25 minutes, about two games after that, only 8-3. 25 minutes, a couple games after that, he had 17-13 with a block. 30 minutes on January 28th, that was a season high for Jalen. He also had 3 3-pointers in that game, 19-10 with two blocks as well. So basically what you're looking for here is, where are the avenues for him to increase his minutes up to 25 or higher? And this presumably would be one of them. There is some interesting upside with Smith because he can step out into three while still elevating field goal percent. You just kind of hope that he doesn't take too many free throws. But he also can luck into a block every now and then. And you've got an interesting stat profile. So I think Jalen Smith is an ad. Roto, I mean, again, where you're not going to get punished by using a move. In head-to-head, you got to wait. You can't do anything this far in advance of a ball game. That's recipe for total disaster on the head-to-head side. But Roto, you could pick Jalen Smith up, stick him on your bench, and hope that he gets a spot start coming up here. And if he does, and you just sort of roll with it, you probably get a pretty good line. Boston's a pretty easy team to handicap. Jaylen Brown sat this one out, call it a rest day. And so Al Horford slid into the starting lineup. Easy peasy. Game was a pretty easy win for the Celtics, so Sam Hauser got a few extra minutes off the bench, as did Peyton Pritchard. Hauser hit 7 threes. Pritchard didn't do a whole lot with his time. Those are guys, at least in my eyes, I feel like two guys generally need to be out to get to Hauser. Not that 7 threes wasn't good enough, but in 24 minutes, there's no guarantee that he hits fantasy value. And then for Pritchard, you need someone in the backcourt, more specifically down. And Drew Holiday and Derek White were both healthy for this ballgame. Though you wouldn't know by looking at Drew's line. So it's Al Horford. Horford's the fill-in when one guy is out. On the Charlotte side, we had a few guys out. The most important of them being Nick Richards, which we saw this before, when both Mark Williams, and he's been out the whole damn year basically, and Nick Richards are out, Grant Williams gets the bump up to center. We talked about it on yesterday's podcast. I was like, look, if we find out Nick Richards is out, you got to go Grant Williams, because he suddenly adds center profile stuff to his fantasy game. So a couple extra rebounds. So he had 7 of those. The field goal percent gets better because he's near the rim more and just more opportunity. And Grant Williams had 23-7. I was kind of hoping for a defensive stat, but hard to argue with the rest of this one. 2 3-pointers, 7 boards, 63% shooting on 16 shots. Pretty good all-around game for Grant, and he's a play if Nick Richards misses any more ball games. If Richards comes back, Grant Williams then slides back into basically a threes and light rebounds stream in the doesn't matter grouping. Also, kind of in the doesn't matter group, Vasilij Micic. He had 9 assists. Again, he's been racking up assists, which is nice. He didn't do a whole lot else, and he doesn't do it on great percentages either. So while it looks good, because we all get a little salivary when it comes to assists, the other stuff isn't quite high enough to make him an all formats play, but he's a very clear assists play if that's a category you need, like a reliable, consistent one. Poku was back, only played 16 minutes, though. Memphis beats Detroit. A battle for the cellar. What are you doing, Detroit? You had this one. You had this one, Pistons. Apparently, they had to rest Cade Cunningham for a few minutes during the ballgame, and that was really all it took. JJJ had a big one. Cade had a big one, so those guys are locked in. That's nice. But then you got all these other dudes that are maybes. Luke Kennard, I think, is above a maybe. When he's starting, we've talked about that before, when he's starting for this Memphis team, he's a play because he basically becomes their de facto point guard right now. And he's the best shooter on the team by, I would reckon, a large margin. So all of a sudden, you get a game like this one. 19 points, 5 threes, 8 assists. That's a big game for Kennard. I'm not playing G.G. Jackson outside of points leagues. I'm not playing Santi Aldama at all. He's really cooled off. Jordan Goodwin is always fun when you know if he's going to get minutes, but we don't know if he's going to get minutes. And so that brings us to Brandon Clark. After his last ballgame, I said, this is interesting because let's remember, he really only needs about 24 minutes to post consistent fantasy value, and he got 23.5 in this ballgame. Where do the remaining minutes come from? Yeah, that's the question, because we've seen the Grizzlies are more than willing to put people ahead of Clark in the pecking order. But man, can he rack up fantasy stats. Field goal percent, boards, steals, blocks. He is a well-rounded fantasy big man type. Not a massive rebounder by any real stretch, but I mean, look at this line. 15 points, 7 boards, a steal, 2 blocks, a 3-pointer, 7 out of 12 shooting. That's a good stuff in that game. And he's close. The problem is we don't really have a whole lot of time to work with it right now. We're under 2 weeks from the end of the regular season. So if you're kind of like stashing, not in the traditional sense, but semi-stashing Clark to see what happens over the next couple of ball games, if you wait a couple of ball games, the season's over. Memphis plays again tomorrow in Milwaukee. Maybe we should just say this. If Clark gets 23 minutes again in the next ball game, you pick him up and you stash him. And then as soon as he clears 24, you could probably start him. On the Detroit side, Jalen Duren left early. He got a tooth knocked out about 5 minutes into the ball game, which means if you need a nice empty double-double, James Wiseman is back on the board. Usually will get you some scoring in the teens. He'll get you around 10 rebounds, which is basically what he did yesterday. He got himself a Kurt Thomas in this ballgame, 10-10. That's the old Kurt Thomas. Sorry, guys. This is like an early 2000s throwback reference to Kurt Thomas's fantasy lines. This is what James Wiseman's going to do. He's going to mess up your free throw percent, so you just hope he doesn't go there. He's not great with turnovers, even though he doesn't pass, really. He'll probably get you about 14 points and 10 rebounds, and if you don't need anything else, great. If you do, not so great. I'm still waiting on Metu to convince me that I should make a play on it, and I really want to. He had 17-8 in this ballgame, and 2 blocks and a 3-pointer. He's been playing really well, but he hasn't apparently earned the starting job yet. I don't know what more he needs to do, but that's why I'm nervous. I'm a nervous man by nature. Metu's putting up really good fantasy lines, but there's this risk with him coming off the bench. The minutes are just going to be like 20 one game, and you're not going to get what you need. So right now, he's a very interesting, high-priority watch list guy, where, again, Wiseman is your fill-in stream. Over on the other side, Brandon Clark is also kind of a high-priority watch list guy. These guys can do it again. You probably make a play on him. Then you got Grant Williams as a fill-in. You had Horford as a fill-in. You have Jalen Smith as a likely fill-in. Trendon Watford is kind of a mid-range watch list guy. That was a really busy early part of the fantasy card yesterday. And that's when I was like, oh, 6 games, we can do this in a half hour. And I'm sure you guys were all like, whatever, Dan. Stop talking, Dan. Laces out, Dan. Banton. 17 more shots off the bench, 8 free throws also. Man, this dude is a usage monster right now. And he's very much a play. He's in that situation where even though his efficiency numbers are horrible, he's just so involved in everything going on with the Blazers right now that he can overwhelm the bad efficiency with good other stuff. I mean, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 5 boards, 5 assists, 4 three-pointers, 26 points. You can overlook the field goal and free throw percent being negatives. So Banton's a play. DeAndre Ayton's a play. These are your 9-cat decisions. Technically, Chris Murray is probably a 9-category play, but in my eyes, kind of in that slow-mo vein. He's going to give you a little bit of a bunch of things, not so much an assist, but he'll give you a 3, he'll give you some rebounds, he'll give you some steals. He's going to do it without blowing up your percentages. He's a very boring 100 to 125 range guy. So he's kind of like a doesn't matter, like a better than average doesn't matter range dude. We're talking about Chris Murray here, where you probably play him if you need to make up games played, if you're looking for steals, a couple of boards, trying not to ruin your percentages. It's hard to find these days. Jabari Walker at 18-9. He doesn't usually do much besides point and rebound. And he had 5 assists here, so that was something. But it's hard for him to maintain fantasy value because he's really sort of a two-trick pony. And then Scoot, we talked about, he's points league. Has to be points league. He's also super involved in everything going on, like Banton. But even worse in the efficiency stuff. Field goal percent worse. Turnovers way worse. Not as many defensive stats. And he's going to be good. Scoot could be sort of a post-hype guy for next year. But hey, don't draft rookie ball handlers. For the Magic, Jalen Suggs continues to rumble along. Franz Wagner is another 9-cat guy. Paolo is your points league option. It's the same stuff as usual there. Jonathan Isaac back down to 17 minutes again. He had 6-4 with a couple of blocks, but it's hard to play unless you know he's getting over 20 minutes, which we once again don't, even though it kind of seemed like he was gonna. Ah, well. And then Wendell Carter Jr. goes on these little mini heaters where you're like, ooh, maybe he could be a top 100 play, and then he cools back off again. He's number 163 per game on the season. He has 110 range upside. Wendell Carter Jr. more of a points and rebounds play. And I would obviously prefer him over someone like a James Wiseman, who we also talked about as kind of a points rebounds guy. Just a safer job for Wendell Carter Jr. But both those guys kind of profile somewhat similar. Not the same. Wendell better free throw shooter, but not that different. Meanwhile, Vit Krejci, 18 points on a perfect 6-for-6 from downtown. This is a guy we're on. I'm looking at the Hawks schedule, and I was like, okay. And I picked him up last week, and I dropped him going into this week. Even though he has a great schedule, I was like, I just can't do it again. I can't get another 4.2 rebound, 1 assist ball game. And then Krejci's like, it's cool, man. Exploded on the waiver wire. This will undoubtedly be the best game he posts all season. With Jalen Johnson back and likely ramping his minutes up closer to 30 by the next ball game, you're going to likely see Krejci continue to trend down. The Hawks you can play now have shifted a little bit because I don't know that DeAndre Hunter is going to get enough usage with Jalen Johnson back. Hunter becomes, I think, more of a scoring stream. And your starters are Jalen Johnson, Clint Capella, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and DeJounte Murray. Your schedule plays... amazingly, Vit Krejci was one, but I don't think that that's really a safe one. Bruno Fernando is a schedule play. DeAndre Hunter slides down to a schedule play. And that, good friends, is as far as you go on that front. The Chicago Bulls, ladies and gentlemen, start the starters. Andre Drummond at 18 rebounds off the bench in 20 minutes. But again, that's it. He's a rebounds-only stream. And I'll admit, I'm actually using him in a league where I was looking at the Roto scores, and I was like, damn, if I could like up my rebound average on a per-game basis, I could actually pass one or two dudes. So, yeah, I got Drummond on a club. I think I might even have it on two teams, believe it or not. But that doesn't mean you need to also. It's a situation where you are really hunting a category. And this is a guy that's not even in the doesn't-matter range because his free throws are bad, and his minutes are all over the map. You get like 6 points, 10 rebounds, and who the hell knows what else. Yeah, I mean, there's a use to that. Without question, there's a use to that. You know, last 2 weeks, Drummond's averaging 11 rebounds a ball game, and he's number 125 over that range in 18 and a half minutes. So, sure, like, again, you know what you're getting. Do it if you need to. Otherwise, start the starters. Phoenix also start the starters. This was Lava Booker game. He does this every once in a while. It's very cool to watch. He moves a couple slots up the board. Then he has some normal games, and he slides two or three slots back. Booker, a mid-second rounder. I didn't think he was going to get this high. I'll be honest. I thought he was going to be like more late second, early third range. But he managed to keep his usage super high despite adding Bradley Beal, who obviously is the one who took the big hit there. And, you know, even Kevin Durant took a little bit of a small hit, although his was more about the free throw percentage being down, usage only down a little bit for KD. Booker's just been a pillar of efficiency all season long. But I will take credit for one thing, which was saying there was no way he was going to average 8 assists a ball game, and he's now down into the mid-sixes, which is, I think, where we said he was going to be. 6-7. He's at 6.9, so he's at the upper end of that. But he's been really good this year, other than the injuries. 61 games. He's hanging in there. He's been healthier since the beginning. Anyway, you start the starters. I don't know why I'm talking about the Suns. There's really nothing there. And then for the Pelicans, Jonas Valanciunas finally got enough minutes to actually do some damage, but he went 1-for-4 at the free throw line, and that blew up that pop opportunity. What do you do with JV? I've said it before. I'm having a lot of trouble kind of with empathy on this one. I'm having trouble putting myself in your shoes. Because I don't have Valanciunas, and this was the season I thought he was going to have from the beginning of the year. So I got it very wrong the first 3 months. But I'm finally right for the last month and a half. And so, you know, my advice is he's not a fantasy play. But at the same time, if you had him the whole year, I don't know how you're just like, all right, goodbye. Because he's also, at this point, basically just a points rebound stream. Maybe even more just a rebound field goal percent stream. So then you're comparing him to, who are the other names we just went over on this board? Scroll back up. Andre Drummond, who's basically a rebound stream. Wendell Carter Jr., who's a points rebounds guy. Wiseman, not so much Brandon Clark. He's has a little bit more of a varied fantasy game. Forgetting one name. Oh, Jalen Smith, who's also kind of points reboundsy. Yeah, he's got a little bit of upside, too. So what is the big driving force for holding on to Valanciunas right now? The driving force is none of those other guys we just talked about are on the waiver wire. Because if they are, I actually think they're probably more interesting. But right now, there's pretty much no chance JV gets more than about 24 minutes a game. This is kind of him maxing out. Larry Nance is playing a bunch at center. Zion's playing a bunch at center. Dyson Daniels is back, so they got deeper. By the way, Dyson Daniels, not a bad steals stream, if you're into that sort of thing. Jose Alvarado being out has been good for Dyson to slide right back into a decent chunk of minutes. But for the most part, on this club, you can only play the four key guys right now, which is Trey Murphy, who's stayed hot, Herb Jones, who's been a defensive force, Zion, and CJ. Man, can you believe how long CJ McCollum stayed a second rounder this year before reality finally set in? Now he's right around number 50, which, by the way, that's still a win for him on the year. What do you do, man? What do you do with the Pelicans' big men? I don't think you can play any of them. I'm saying Nance or Valanciunas. There's just no safety there. Luckily, they don't have a great schedule anymore, or not any better than anyone else, really. So they last week they were such a priority where it was like, oh, we got to get a Pelican in there. They're playing on the low traffic days. Now it's like, who cares? Just start the main four. Don't worry about the rest. JV, you can drop. Who cares if he has one big game the rest of the way? There's two frickin' weeks left in the season. There's literally nothing you could do right now that would be that bad for your fantasy team other than, like, accidentally dropping the wrong Johnson. Or Jalen. Oops, didn't mean to drop that guy. Oh no, I accidentally dropped insert third rounder when I meant to drop insert waiver wire guy. But in situations like that, if you email your commissioner within the first like 12 seconds, usually they can turn that joint around. And Yahoo leagues are overnight fab, so it doesn't even happen when you click the button. It happens at midnight. There's literally nothing you can do to your fantasy team right now, especially in Roto, that is that big of a deal because it'll cost you six games of something. So you can be super aggressive this time of year. We try to stay really patient in October, November, December, January, even February. By March, patience can wear a little bit. And by April, it's freaking April 2nd, people. You don't need any patience at all. If somebody's doing something you don't like, just cut them. Because by the time they come off waivers, someone else is going to pick them up. And if they're good, they'll get four games out of them. Who cares? No change at all. You need to be category hunting on the Roto side. And head-to-head, you need to be dodging zeros. Anybody that's a zero, you dump them. Peace. Set them free. You know, they say if you love someone. Quick check of the chat room, see if they covered anything in there that I forgot to. Let's see here. Is Trey Jones worth streaming? Is his usage going to go up with Vassell Sohan out for the season? I would say yes. I actually kind of like Trey Jones as a play anyway. Here's the problem. Their schedule sucks this week. They're playing today in Denver, which is not an easy game, and then they're off for two more days. Pelicans on Friday, an overload day, and Philly on Sunday, a 13-gamer. So head-to-head, Spurs are a terrible business to get into right now. Roto, yeah, absolutely. I like him a lot. Kyle Anderson, Lowry, or Reggie Jackson, pending various injury news. Who do I like the most? Safe play there is slow-mo. Hello, Dan. Thank you for helping me win my first season. I drafted Pool 23rd, and I got the dub anyway. You are very entertaining. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Seems like you didn't listen to the show early enough, or you would have heard me talking about how I didn't want anything to do with Jordan Poole. But guess what? You won anyway, so who gives a crap? Should I dropped Ayo Dosunmu for Caris LeVert? Chicago stinks the rest of the week. Or their schedule does. Yeah, you're right about that. It is a terrible schedule. I have both Miles Turner and Jalen Duren on my finals team. Oh, Timbo, I'm sorry, man. That's a rough day. I think Duren's back soon. He'll probably just play with a mouth guard while they figure out how to get the 2-3 attached. They'll probably have to do some dental surgery, clear out the hole, and then basically they kind of like screw it in. I had a friend in high school who was missing one tooth. It just never showed up. So ultimately, they had to put a retainer in that would slowly slide teeth apart to create an opening. Then they did a surgery to put basically like, I'm trying to think of what like the construction equivalent would be. And I'm brain farting on a podcast in real time as to what it's called. But it's basically what you jam into a wall that allows you to then put a screw into it. And that's what they did. They put like a tooth with a screw on and they just popped it into that hole. So I don't know. Maybe that's what they do. I don't think they can just glue that sucker back in. This ain't a plastic kid's toy. Who's the better Dame replacement, Pat Bev or Miles McBride? Well, one of them is not a Dame replacement. The other is a OG Anunoby replacement. Miles McBride is the safer play there. Delano Banton on the overload days or Duncan Robinson on light days? I mean, if you're overloaded, you probably got to go with the guy who's you can use. Now, Banton's been really good, but presumably this is a math equation, basically. All right, calculate what you think you're going to get out of Duncan Robinson. But don't they play on overload days too? Portland is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. The Heat are Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Friday and Sunday are the overload days. So I'm guessing that means that your Wednesday is overloaded? I don't know. I mean, the thing here is, of course, you're getting 4 games the rest of the week out of Duncan Robinson, 3 out of Banton. But if you're debating of who to use on an overload day, I feel like maybe the question here is 2 Duncan Robinson games versus 0. So like 4 Duncan Robinson versus 2 of Delano Banton if Banton is an overload on Wednesday. Am I interpreting that question right? The 4 beats the 2, even if Banton's going to be doing better numbers on a individual days, but the 4 beats the 2 there. So if that's the question, then that's the answer. I think I'm maybe getting that right. All right, I did it. Around a half an hour. Not exactly, but that was my target. We'll have the afternoon show kind of late today, I think. It'll probably be pushing right up near the start of the ball games, but I do have some streaming thoughts for tonight, so make sure to join us for that one. Again, I am at Dan Bespris over on Twitter. Thank you, everybody, for joining us every single day, and please, I beg of you all, take a second to go drop a 5-star review, and if you're new, please like and subscribe so that you can be with us as we do this stuff all year long and all year round. Off-season 2, we got Monday through Friday shows all off-season long, so we will not abandon you then. Stick with us all throughout the year. That's it. That's it. I'll see you guys a little bit. If you have streaming questions, come back for our show later on today. We'll answer those there. Later for now.